B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Maz, Murray.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for asking. Appreciate it. How do you feel about starting some football today?
I'm in.
Football.
Let's do it.
Okay. Because as has really been the case here the last, however long, the NBA and its incessant drama has taken a giant dump on everything else that we want to talk about. So we're going to clear the air and clear the board and let the football people get in and talk some football if you want. Because I know once we start talking Kyrie and the Celtics, that's it for you. You'll have a hard time getting in.
So this feels like we're dishing with the girls over a cup of coffee when you're talking Kyrie right now.
Exactly.
Seriously, though.
Everyone wants the latest NBA gossip, but there's a lot of football to get to, so I want to get to it this hour. So,
oh, my God.
You want to get in on it? 617-779-0985. There it is. Hey, give out the number so rarely, I almost forget it. Couple items. Let's start with one. We have a little bit of a deadline here facing us, guys.
Yes.
Yes, I love deadline day. This is a franchise deadline day. Teams have until 4 o'clock to franchise any player they want to franchise. So this is something to keep an eye on here in the next 2 hours. And for something for Jimmy to have his breaking news button all ready to go. I love these days. I can't say that it's like a trade deadline day, but it's a bit of a deadline day.
Tag watch.
Ian Rappaport reports that... If, there it is, okay, you'll know something's coming if you hear that. The Patriots, I don't know how it's worded, but if they are to use the tag, it won't be on Steven Gostkowski, something like that.
Good.
How do you feel about that?
Good. Again, I think using the franchise tag and a kicker to me is one of the great cop-outs of all time for any team, not just the Patriots. Like, what a complete and total waste. I believe in the spirit of that franchise rule. Sorry, call me a jackass, but that's what I believe in. And I look at that franchise rule and I say that rule is intended for a player at a premium position.
An impact player.
Yes, an impact player. Good, simple way to put it. An impact player that you can't come to a contractually agreement with that you should be able to keep. And so I always think of that as a quarterback, but you want to tell me it's a pass rusher or a corner, I'm in on that too. So the idea that they're not using it on the kicker, I'm happy about that in a vacuum. And also in and of itself, I mean, or rather aside from the vacuum part of it, it does leave open the possibility that in the next 2 hours they'll actually use it on a position that means something.
This is correct.
So I hope they do. To me, Trey Flowers should be franchised.
Okay, it's going to be around $17 million.
So what?
I don't think that's good business. I mean, look, I would do it, and I encourage them to spend all the money they want to spend. I'm just telling you, I don't think they're going to franchise anyone except the kicker. That would be the only one. Because, you know, the franchise tag, it's 1 year guaranteed.
Correct.
So that's like, you know, if you're going to give someone 17 guaranteed... Give him 20 and make it a 3-year contract.
Sure.
I mean, I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so listen.
Give him 25 or 30 and make it a 3-year deal and just do that. I think at those big ticket items, the franchise tag is not good business.
Okay, but again, that's I know how they do business. And so you're saying you wouldn't keep him?
No. I'd keep him on a real contract.
Okay.
I'd keep him on a... No. Look, you're asking me? I think they overrate the thing. I'm just trying to... I'm giving you... I'm sort of giving it to you from their perspective.
Sure.
When I say it's not good business, that's according to them. You know, outlaying that money in year one fully guaranteed, when a bonus wouldn't be that much more, and then you can tack on 2 or 3 years to the deal and structure it however you want and actually get some leverage in the back end of the deal.
Absolutely.
So that's that I just think is smarter. Like, Dallas has now franchised the Dallas pass rusher they just franchised for the
DeMarcus
second
Lawrence.
Year? DeMarcus Lawrence for the second straight year. So I think he got around 17 guaranteed last year on the tag.
And now it goes up to about 20.
It goes to about 20 because it's 120% of your salary. So they've just given him $37 million guaranteed for 2 years.
Correct.
if you had given him not 37, 30 last year, you get a 3-year deal. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's short-sighted.
It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. It's so stupid, franchising guy at that position, 2 straight years, 37 guaranteed for just 2 years, and he's up again next year? Just give him a $30, $40 million signing bonus and sign him to a 4-year deal and get all that team control on the back end of the deal.
Yeah, so look, again, I understand the math of it. I'm just telling you, I don't want them to lose Trey Flowers.
Okay, me neither. So I asked you this going into the year, and I asked Murray this. If they could only tag one guy, Trent Brown or Trey Flowers, Murray said actually franchise Trent Brown.
Yeah. And especially with the way that you're breaking down the math, too, it makes all the sense in the world because you keep him for 1 year essentially for insurance to make sure he's protection for Brady while Isaiah Wynn comes back from a torn Achilles and is essentially playing his rookie season. Like, I think, just think that's a big ask for a kid that had that kind of injury that's going to be thrown into the fire like that. And I get it, who the offensive line coach is and Dante Scarnecchia, and he's the O-line whisperer. I just want that kind of protection with a man that size for your 42-year-old quarterback.
Okay.
They're not going to do it, by the way. You've heard they're talking with everyone down to Ryan Allen, the punter. They've talked with, maybe they've approached Dante Hightower. Pretty much every name on the roster is going to be up. You've heard some rumblings of contract talks with, except for one guy, and that's Trent Brown. He's gone. I've resigned myself to the fact he is not going to be on this team next year.
Yeah, Trent Brown scares me. I would blame them if they don't franchise him. Weight problem in his previous team, sort of quit on his previous team, was apparently something of a project here, and contract year just has all the markings of that's dangerous. Given that guy, too much guaranteed money. My prediction is they franchise no one, which means they'll franchise somebody. But I just it's so like them to say, well, should they franchise this guy or that guy? And they end up franchising nobody. And that's just how they operate, right? That really wouldn't surprise anybody. So we'll know in the next hour and 50 minutes. Okay, we got you covered here on franchise tag deadline day.
Bit wordy.
Free agency starts a week from tomorrow. What do you want them to do?
So, look, the receiving core is the obvious area of need. I mean, they just don't have enough bodies there. But I'm starting to wonder whether or not we're at the stage here where the Patriots should really just invest in their defense. Like, as time goes on, ultimately, they won the Super Bowl with their defense. And so, now, I'm not telling you that that's the way they made it through the whole season, but I'm telling you the last game they won with their defense.
So, back to Trey Flowers, if they don't franchise him, you want them to sign him?
Yes, absolutely. I want them to keep Flowers. I want them to keep good players. And I get frustrated when the Patriots get to this stage and a guy plays well and then they say, well, we're going to let you go. Like, and I'm, look, if you have to use the franchise tag as a vehicle to get a long-term deal, then you do that. That's what you do. You make it clear to the guy, we want you, we're going to keep you, and we'll figure out the math later if we have to figure out the math later. But we want you to stay. And if I'm the Patriots at this stage, I look at it and I say, and I know this is sacrilege, but Tom Brady is going to be 42 years old. And, you invested in a running back, rightly or wrongly. You did. And so Gronk looks like he's more valuable as a blocker now if he stays.
So this is becoming a team on defense and the running game?
I'm just saying that
Just say yes, Ben.
No, I wouldn't say build it on defense in the running game because I still believe in Brady's ability to execute at key times.
Hey, I believe in half of that. Defense.
But to me, if I'm them, the defense is going to be important now going forward.
Absolutely.
So I would invest in that defense. The receiving core is obvious, but I would. I'd invest in the defense.
I'm all in on that. Improve your defense, no problem. That can still win you games at the end of the year. Not the freaking running game, Murray. So the thing with Trey Flowers is you look at the guys who've already been tagged and
it's pretty much every name that's at defensive end.
So Phil Perry pointed this out on NBC Sports Boston. DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys, Jadeveon Clowney of the Texans, Frank Clark of the Seahawks, and D. Ford of the Chiefs have all been tagged, which means if you're a team out there and you want a pass rusher in free agency, Trey Flowers is pretty much it.
Yep.
Which their point, and maybe others agree, is that it's less likely that he returns because he's going to get overpaid. Trey Flowers, if you don't franchise him, is going to get overpaid out there because he's the only guy left. And they think there's something to that. So, look, I said they won't franchise him or it's bad business. It's not a bad play if you franchise him to re-sign him, to keep him off the market, and you use that as a baseline and a leverage point to sign him long-term. I'm okay with that, and I think they would be okay with that too. It's just, if he goes to market, man, he's going to get paid. Flores is sitting out there. Patricia's sitting out there. There's a lot of former Patriots sitting out there. There's a lot of money sitting out there. He's going to get paid. Are you prepared to match? Are you prepared to match? All right, so that's the thing on Trey Flowers.
I mean, if he hits the market, he's gone. I think.
Yeah.
I know, Murray, I don't know how you feel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know, look, again, philosophically, just because Murray mentioned Trent Brown quickly, that philosophically, if they used it on a left tackle, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, that can qualify as a franchise
yes.
type player.
Now, Brown scares me too, but I'd have a bigger issue with them using it on a kicker, for crying out loud, than a left tackle.
Okay, I also want to get to the quarterback situation. We hit on this yesterday, and if you wanted to weigh in, you were blocked by all the NBA gossip. But apparently, Arizona's serious about drafting Murray number one, which means Josh Rosen could be available via trade, and Peter King even said it might cost as little as a third-round pick. How do you feel about that? Nick Foles is going to go to Jacksonville. How do you feel about Blake Bortles? It was a time that Bill Belichick reportedly really liked Blake Bortles. There's also, you know, sort of a whiff out there that Ryan Tannehill could become available. Any of these quarterbacks interest you in terms of being a project? Okay, so we talked about that yesterday. We'll cycle back to that today as well. I want to get into the Robert Kraft latest. There was an interesting story on the New York Times yesterday about how this incident, you know, the thing down in Florida with the massage, could that chip away at his power in the league? And I'll read to you from that story. So we're into all these things. One thing I forgot to get to with Gostkowski is not franchising him, reportedly. Good. We all agree with that. I think it's such a weaselly move to use a franchise tag on a kicker. If you like the guy, just pay the guy. Should they pay Steven Gostkowski? Now, the franchise tag for kickers around $5 million. He's going to be in that neighborhood either way. How do you feel about them paying around $5 million for Steven Gostkowski?
So I told you I have this dilemma before, that as much as I sit there and I say about Gostkowski, well, look at how many kicks he's missed in big games over the last couple of years, and he's missed a lot. The unknown of the next guy scares me more. Tell me that's not the most hypocritical thing I've ever said.
No, I agree with you completely.
I'm so not scared. You know who the guy is they first drafted to come and challenge Adam Vinatieri?
Robbie Gold?
Yep. Nailed that one. He's been one of the better kickers in the league. Not that I'd pay him either. And he got franchised. We dumped all over San Fran for that last week, and I stand by that. I'm not franchising Robbie Gould either, but he's a fine kicker. Fine kicker. I think Bill could figure it out. I trust Bill to figure it out versus overpaying a guy that age who has that many problems in these big games. Like, you've played with fire long enough. I think you've gotten away with it.
So maybe. I mean, that's a good way to look at it. I just fear that they're going to end up with the next, you know, Connor Barth, or who is the jackass who been
in Chicago?
Yeah, Cody Parkey, for crying out loud. Like, I see one of those coming and a guy misses a 27-yarder, Blair Walsh, or whoever else to advance to the next round of the playoffs. And as bad as Gostkowski has been in some of these spots, you know, there isn't that kick there to hang over his head.
Okay, so whether you want to franchise Gostkowski or not, you want to pay him. How do you feel about that? All these other football items to you right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
The snap in the spot. Kicked by Gostkowski. Airborne to the uprights. And it's no good. Gostkowski with a miss off to the right. Steven Gostkowski, who's made an NFL record 463 consecutive regular season extra points, misses to the right, and it's 7-6 Denver with 1:49 to go here in the first.
Man, that could be a killer.
And Super Bowl 51 between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Point after try by Gostkowski from the left hash of the 23. Snap from Cardona to Allen. Kick airborne to the uprights, and the kick bangs off the right upright. The reading, no good. Super Bowl 52 between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Gostkowski will attempt 26-yard field goal from the near hash. Cardona's snap is low. Allen has to reset it. Gostkowski's kick hits the left upright, and it clanks off the upright, no good. A disastrous turn for the Patriots on that possession. The snap in the spot from the left hash. The Gostkowski kick is no good. He hooked it left. Elliott missed a kick right. Gostkowski pulls that kick left, and the Patriots now trail 15-12. Super Bowl 53 between the New England Patriots, champions of the AFC, and the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. Joe Cardona over the football, snaps it back. Placement and a swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Gostkowski missed it off to the left.
There's your Gostkowski miss montage. Last three championship games. Last year's Super Bowl, year before Super Bowl, AFC title game in Denver. Huge kicks. All impacted the game. All of them. And how were his kickoffs this year? How was their special teams? How was their kick coverage?
Not good.
I mean, I guess he was just doing what he was told with the plunking it down where he did, but it's not like they covered it. So you didn't get much value out of your kickoffs. He was consistent regular season field goals. I'll give him that. But in these end of the season games, he's good for a miss every game.
No, it feels that way, right? So, look, again, you know, I sort of like the known at kicker versus the unknown. So, ultimately,
and during the regular season, he is as consistent as you can find throughout the league. So, that's why it's like, I don't know, that money is a little bit high, and he is a miss waiting to happen in the postseason. But, I don't know. Remember, we thought he got hurt at one point last season, Maz, and you and I gasped, like, oh, no. Like
right now, what?
Yeah, right.
Like, that's so. You know, you talk about the big games. How many guys are there that make all the kicks in the big games?
That's a good point. You know, I haven't really done a study of it.
I mean, like, you know, there just aren't many Vinatieris in the world, right? So, I sort of look at it and say, the known commodity in the regular season, maybe that's worth it.
Okay, so apparently they're not going to franchise Gostkowski, but do you pay him? He's a free agent. Other free agent items on the board as well. Want to get to the quarterback question and the craft issue. All of it, but your calls first as promised. Dave in Plymouth and his great landline. How you doing, Dave?
Doing great, guys. So here's why I franchise Trey Flowers. I do want to keep him away from Brian Flores in Miami. I really do. Everything I've read about Trey says that he's a great locker room guy. Flores' big challenge down there is going to be setting a winning culture down there. And to snag Flowers to start with, that's a coup for him. It really is. I'd franchise him, and then look, if they can't come to a contract agreement, trade him around draft time. Make a deal.
You know, Dave, I'm with you. I don't want to trade him. I want him here. It's also just sort of on principle. Like, he's a guy that should be a Patriot. Mm-hmm. I used to feel this way about Malcolm Butler, and that went south, and so obviously, you know, I didn't feel that way about Butler in the last year because his play dipped off in that last year and things got funky, as we all know. But Trey Flowers has had none of that. Drafted, developed. I can't remember or recite to you a single thing the guy has ever said, which is good. He hasn't made a single ripple off the field, hasn't made a single ripple with his mouth, all he's done is shown up and play and get better. And I don't know. It's just, I want to see them reward some of those guys. I mean, so anyone that they draft and develop and gets to be expensive, they let go? Like, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, I understand you can't keep them all. I get that. You have a budget. But can you keep some? Can you keep guys like that?
I mean, that's how I feel. Again, and look, I think they should be investing in the defense, and I like impact players. So I know what the MO is down there, and they let plenty of guys go, and they keep on winning. Okay, but I look at this guy and say he's a force. And if you put him on another team, you know, Chandler Jones is sort of exhibit A. I'm not telling you Chandler Jones is the greatest player in the league, but in a lot of ways, he was underutilized here, as a lot of them are.
Well, they don't feature pass rushers.
Right, exactly.
Chandler Jones has huge sack numbers in Arizona. He didn't have huge sack numbers. He has, I was reading today, though, huge pressure numbers. He's one of the league leaders in pressures, but he doesn't get the sacks because the Patriots don't game plan for you and they don't try and free up for sacks. They don't care about your sacks. They care about the rush syncing up with the coverage. And so Flowers gets in there. He just doesn't get the sacks.
Right. But if he's affecting the play, it's just as good.
Absolutely.
Almost.
And I think the Pats are so right about that,
by the way. Yeah. And so do I. But then you can't use the numbers against the guy, too. Right.
They probably do, though.
So like, you can't say, well, look at these guys. They all make sacks. You know, and right. but I'm playing in your system.
Right.
So this is where I get frustrated with them, because I look at them and I say, you have a known commodity. It works. And I know the money changes everything, but this guy's young. I mean, what's he been in the league? 4 years?
I can't remember when he got
there. I think it's 4 years in the league, right? It's and it feels to me like he is just now starting to really scratch the surface.
Yes, it might be three, given where he was drafted. Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. I think that they should just pay Flowers. You know, you franchise him, it's going to leave a bad taste in his mouth. Pay the guy that owns it. Franchising him is bad. If you're going to franchise tag anybody, franchise tag Trent Brown. You know, the kid basically was terrible 2 years ago. He had a good year last year. Let's pay him for a year with the franchise, see if he's going to be good, and see where that takes us. I mean, right now, that position is getting paid about $15 million a year. $13 million for another year. Trent Brown is worth it. He had a hell of a year last year.
I'm sorry. I was looking something up. I lost track of what you said. You can't franchise two guys if you're talking about franchising two. What did he just say?
No, I only got part of it, too, because I was looking at Flowers' numbers, but he was saying franchise Trent Brown. And he's a little low on the number. He said $13 million. I saw this morning the left tackle.
14.5.
It's over 14. That's right. And the Flowers' number's over 17, if I saw it right.
That's right.
Okay, so, you know, Flowers is more expensive. I just feel like the way the Patriots are constructed, they are more built to withstand the loss of Trent Brown than they are Flowers.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
They've got Isaiah Wynn. I'm not, you know, and I'm not saying I love Cannon on the left side, but, and you can always draft another guy. Like, there are lots of options there. At defensive line, I feel like Flowers is it, and I know it's a deep draft. So I'm a little surprised that as many teams are franchising these guys as they are, because it's supposed to be a deep draft for defensive line. But this guy's a force now. He's disruptive in there. Like, to me, that is huge.
And it was his fourth year. I just think, you know, you can't let him. So as soon as someone's going to make some money, he's gone. Like, you got to keep some of them. And they have. They've picked and choosed and chosen. They've, you know, Chandler Jones gone. Jamie Collins gone. They signed Dante Hightower. So, like, fine. Okay. They didn't want Malcolm Butler, but they paid Stephon Gilmore. Fine. Not their guy, but, you know. So they do. They have spots where they go in big, and I think Flowers is worth it. I think, and certainly Devin McCourty was highly paid for his position, probably overpaid. So it's not like they never do it. They make exceptions, and they pick out certain guys at the right time. And I don't know why Trey Flowers wouldn't be that guy. I haven't heard a single bad thing about the guy. Dude, Malcolm Butler, even, you know, how much we liked him and his story, there was still some stuff there. Remember when he missed or was late for like an off-season camp, and they held him out of the whole thing? And,
yeah.
You know, there. If you look closely enough, and not that I did, but just in hindsight now, you go back and look at Malcolm Butler and said, there's some things there, okay? And I certainly feel that way about some other guys. And you could certainly say that about Chandler Jones showing up half naked in the middle of January on synthetic weed at the, you know, Foxborough Police Department. And the Jamie Collins things, you hear rumblings there that there was some sketchy stuff with him. Have you heard one thing about Trey Flowers?
No.
Guy. And I'm not worried to call about pissing him off if you franchise him, if in a month you give him that big deal. He'll get over it. So he'll be pissed for a month. Just use it to keep him. John in Brockton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So if we don't end up getting Trey Flowers, then there is someone that we could get that's diet Trey Flowers pretty much. He played for the Cardinals last year. His name is Benson Mayowa. He was other side of Chandler Jones. And he actually outperformed Chandler Jones a couple of months straight, you know, September, November, December. He did really well. And the whole time it was, he had more sacks and pressures. He was, I think he was 15th on the pressure list. And he isn't Trey Flowers, but he's a lot cheaper. And the Cardinals ended up not franchise tagging him or haven't yet. So it could be a viable option.
Okay, John, thanks for the suggestion. I'm not familiar with the player. Sort of scares me when the guy opposite of the guy puts up big numbers and you say, well, there's a reason there. He's getting single teamed and they're all game planning Chandler Jones. And so the guy on the other side gets free.
Yeah. Adelius Thomas.
I've seen a lot of those guys. So I don't know. I'd rather them just pay what it costs to sign Trey Flowers as opposed to going bargain basement and trying to find the off brand, the diet, you know, what do you call them? Diet Trey Flowers.
Yeah. Like why do they always have to reinvent the wheel? Sometimes you have a good player who's worth it. Can we just pay the guy? He's a good player. They don't have much else on the defensive line. Like, I look at this one and say, that's a spot you shouldn't be screwing around with.
All right, we continue with your calls on this. We'll get to the quarterback thing. And coming up next, the New York Times wonders, is this finally the straw that broke the camel's back as it relates to Robert Kraft and his power in the league? And I mean this, meaning obviously the massages down in Florida and that situation. We'll get to that story right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
So New York Times had a story yesterday about Robert Kraft's legal troubles down in Florida, perhaps costing him power within the league. And they don't really get anyone to... I feel like the story, they had set out to write a story that they felt was going to have more to it than this. They couldn't get any owners on the record. They said a lot of owners weren't even talked to him off the record about it. Yet the whole tone of the article was that this one could cost Kraft. And they're not specific about a committeeship or anything like that, but I'll just read it to you. First of all, the New York Times details where Robert was the day the charges came down, which was interesting. He's out in L.A. a lot, too. People don't realize he lives in Manhattan. He's got a place in New York. He lives there, basically, as well as his home in Brookline. And I guess he's in L.A. all the time, because the Times says that the day that the charges came down, he was in Beverly Hills going to his delicatessen that he likes to go to in the morning, and was about to go to, was it the Bel Air Country Club to play golf with Al Michaels?
Yep.
So that's where he was when the news came down. And they say suddenly, Kraft's offseason and perhaps his status as one of the most influential NFL owners has been turned upside down. As chairman of the league's media committee, Kraft has become the NFL's seemingly indispensable owner, as anyone who holds that position usually is. And he has been expert at getting networks like CBS and Fox to pay previously unimaginable rights fees and making them feel as if they were lucky to do so. Now they say Kraft may have compromised his stature within that most exclusive of American business clubs. Let me stop. Do you think he has? Do you think he will?
Do I think, like, I judgmentally, no. Do I think that there's a chance that there's some sanctimonious owner in there that will try to use this? Yep, I do.
Yeah, it feels like that there's some pettiness, obviously, that goes on throughout, you know, the 32 there. And they get catty.
Okay, so I think it's going to cost him, but it's not because there's going to be a sanctimonious owner. This isn't it. I don't think he gets hurt league-wide because he went in for, what'd they call on Saturday Night Live? A hojo. Like, I don't think that's going to cost him. I don't think that's going to cost him. I think the owners are going to look at him and say, can we trust his judgment anymore? That's what I think it is. I think that's the most damning thing with Robert, his judgment. Going to such a public place in such a public fashion and not getting a little whiff of something when the cops pulled him over in day one. And now his defense or his excuse that, well, maybe he knew these gals or had relationships with these gals. That might help him in a court of law, although I don't know how it does. But in terms of a common sense thing, it makes it look even worse in some regards. Like, you're hanging out with these folks? Or you have a relationship? All right, so you didn't get services from someone who was the victim of a human traffic, you know, of human trafficking. You didn't get services from a human traffickee, but you had relationships with the traffickers or the people that employed that or the madams, the ones who a lot like, Robert, what are you doing? And I think if you just sort of add it all to maybe Robert's behavior, too strong of a word, or the way Robert's carried himself the last little bit here, it just, you know, he's sort of feels like he's running around having a good time, right?
I mean, without a doubt.
Getting in with the rap community. Yeah. He and Michael Rubin, the owner of the Sixers, are thick as thieves. They're everywhere.
Him and Meek Mill.
And this Michael Rubin.
Right. Where are your priorities?
I don't know about that guy. And I don't know. Just to sort of add it up with the way he's been running around with the rappers and the chains and now the really reckless behavior down there. And maybe the owners look at Robert and say, maybe he's lost it. So I don't think they're going to hold the massage against him. Like, because I just,
No, it's a good point.
In that old boys club, tell me who has it.
No, for God's sakes, Jerry, it's a good point.
Jerry Jones's party bus has a stripper pole in it. Yeah. He's got a stripper pole in his party bus. So please, they're not. I think there's going to be very few guys who are going to go, oh, tisk tisk, Robert. You know that? Ew, that's immoral. But I think from a practical business standpoint, the leadership looks around at Robert and says, can we trust this guy's judgment anymore? He's off the hook here. And that, I think, might cost him. I think he might have lost trust among the owners with the way he's carried on. I'll just keep reading from the story. In ownership circles, Kraft is known to act as a kind of shadow commissioner, forming close relationships with sponsors, vendors, media companies, and even the NFL Players Association. And pursuing back-channel communications that can sometimes circumvent his fellow owners and league officials. His influence, though, has limits, writes the Times. Many owners tolerate Kraft's freelancing because he gets results and tries to keep other owners in the loop. But their tolerance runs thin when the team is accused of wrongdoing, as happened in Spygate and in 2015 when the Patriots were accused of deflating footballs. Numerous former and current league executives and Kraft's ownership brethren declined to comment on the record for this article, as did Kraft. Even privately, many of them were reluctant to criticize him for the solicitation charges, which they consider a personal matter. Which I honestly think the straight solicitation stuff, the straight massage, is going to be the least of his worries. I really do. I think the owner's going to look at him and go, hey, what's up with you, Robert? What's going on? You know, can we trust you like we trust you? And they've got some big things coming up. I didn't realize it. The league's television contracts are up for renewal in 2 years. He's been the point man on that stuff for a long time. The league's television network contracts are up for renewal in 2 years. And the NFL would like new players, meaning networks like Amazon, to jump into the fray. Negotiations are likely to be complicated as the league and networks figure out how to value rights for streaming and other new technology. Also, the CBA is coming up in a couple of years. And these are two things that Robert was instrumental in. Never mind the ownership meetings coming up here now, and they're usually in March sometime. Mm-hmm. So there's a big ownership meeting where Robert usually talks and is front and center, not just for league stuff, but team stuff. Can Robert go to that thing now? Is he going to be there in a couple of weeks when they have these ownership meetings?
It's a good question. I mean, his attorney can go to the hearing on the 27th, right?
Yep.
So he doesn't have to, but it's a good question. I mean, you raise a good point. Like, you know, when you look at the big picture, do others now look at him and say, is this guy seeing it the way he used to?
Or is he focused? Is he as focused as he used to be? Because again, and I don't begrudge Robert, like, great. I mean, at 77, he seems like he's living life to its fullest. God bless you. He's living life to its full. But the other owners say, well, where is this guy? You know, if he's running around and carrying on like that, that recklessly and that wantonly, do we have the same faith in him to lead the charge on all these things? And I think, to me, that's where it's going to get him. And that might even get him internally. I mean, that might even get him here with the team, with, you know, his sons and the power structure there in Foxborough.
Sure.
Like, does the old man still have it? Because he still feels like, you know, he is sort of all over the place. And the thing there down in Florida, whether you think that was fair or not, if you carry on like he was carrying on, I think eventually, you know, eventually you're going to get nabbed, or eventually you sort of you make that bed, you're going to have to lie in it.
Oh, you mean you don't think it was his first and second time there?
I don't think so. My guess. So there's an interesting story in the Times. There's really no smoking bullet there. There was really no smoking gun there. There was really no single thing that got you. But the whole tone of it was that this could cost him influence in the league. And I think it will. And it goes back to his judgment, not what he did at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. So there's a Kraft story. Back to your phones, long commercial segment, and the quarterback issue with the Patriots as well on the board. We'll get to it right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So let's go to Indy Live, where we find our Mel Kiper Jr. And so, Mel, now we know Kyler Murray, 5'10 and change. The next time you release a mock draft, where are you going to put Kyler Murray?
Grinny, I'm
going to
probably put him number one. And I think Arizona Cardinals have kind of a dilemma. Do they feel that Kyler Murray is a significant upgrade over Josh Rosen? Then you have to trade Josh Rosen, and do you have an interested party there? So I think Kyler Murray fits Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Josh Rosen, in my opinion, does not. I think if you're in a division with Goff and Wilson and now Garoppolo off the injury, if they feel that Kyler Murray, now that he's in the range you need to be, okay, close to what Russell Wilson is height-wise, I think he's in line maybe to be the number one pick overall now.
And does that mean Josh Rosen is available? Does that mean he's a possibility for the Patriots? Peter King followed up and said, may only take a third-round pick to get Josh Rosen, 10th overall pick last year. Would you take a flyer if you're the Patriots? I want to get into this quickly, but there has been an update on the Patriots as we face this 4 p.m. franchise tag deadline. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From both Adam Schefter and Field Yates of ESPN, the New England Patriots are not expected to apply the franchise tag to any of their three notable free agents, defensive end Trey Flowers, left tackle Trent Brown, and of course, kicker Steven Gostkowski.
There you go. Just wanted to hit the button at least once today. I'm fine with two of those. Don't franchise the kicker, please. And Trent Brown scares me. Trey Flowers is now expected to hit the market, and he's the only real premium pass rusher now on the board. I would hate to lose him. That would aggravate me. And again, this is, you know what? I'm going to file all these things in the category of it's probably not going to matter because everybody sucks. You're the only team that has half a clue, and your division blows, and you're going to win double-digit games, and you'll be home for the divisional round, and then we'll be in the AFC title game again, and that's where you're going to be. So this isn't, this commentary does not relate to how you're going to finish. How you're going to finish, it really just doesn't matter because everyone sucks. Okay? But
boy, you have been just broken by the blur community.
No, huh? It's over. I mean, fine. I mean,
if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. They're going to regret not bringing Trent Brown back. I'm going to stand by that.
Okay, well, probably what they probably won't.
I mean, this year took a lot of air out of the balloon.
But file under. So now, look, if no one has a clue in the league, then I that's not my fault. That's just the condition of the league. No one has a clue. You're the only ones. So you'll be where you're going to be. It's not going to change your win loss record. So file under now. I'm compiling a whole side list of things that just bug me and that I don't like, but aren't going to impact you. But I don't have to like them. And not paying Trey Flowers would be one of them. That'd be one thing I don't like. I think it will hurt you, but it probably won't because no one will make you pay.
Because nothing ever hurts them.
Yeah.
So I mean, not really. Look, I don't like it. Now, I also issued the disclaimer that let's see how it goes here. If they re-sign him, I'll be happy. So to me, it's about keeping the player. It's not exclusively about the franchise tag. I want them to keep the player. If that's on a long-term deal, even better. Great. But the idea that he's going to be on the market now, you know, leads me to be pessimistic about their chances to keep him. So, like, you know, I just, that feels like an area that's weak. Relatively.
No question.
I mean, they went through some money at Adrian Claiborne last year, and he was borderline useless as far as I'm concerned. You know, Malcolm Brown's not good. He's gone. Like, I sort of, Danny Shelton? Like, what are we talking about? So I'd like to keep the guy who plays well. Call me a jackass for wanting good players.
Okay, so I'm just fine with them not franchising Gostkowski. I don't even want them to pay him. If you get him on a good deal, fine. And Trent Brown, as I said, scares me. I have no problem with him turning the page at left tackle with the kid they just drafted. No problem whatsoever. Trey Flowers, different story. Keep that guy. Pay that guy. Come on. On the quarterbacks. We've discussed this. We hit on it yesterday. If you want to weigh in, folks, 617-779-0985. Josh Rosen, you in or out? And we said, we originally said, if it cost you the 32nd pick, would you do it? Would you do it?
At 32, yeah.
If you like the guy... look, I'd like to keep that first rounder, but I'd give him the one in the second. I mean, you know, to me, it comes down then to how much they like Rosen for number 32. Like, I look at that one and say, first rounder? I don't know, man. I like those first rounders. I do.
I would do it. And not that I wasn't super familiar with him at UCLA. I watched very little of him with Arizona. But he was it's like no one looked at the Arizona Cardinals and said, you idiots, when they drafted him 10. He was a consensus top end of the draft quarterback.
I mean, there was a time that he was talked about as the top pick in the draft of all those quarterbacks.
Exactly. You got to crack at that guy for a third round pick? Just a year after he's drafted? I mean, I think that's just, that doesn't come along very often.
All right, but a second ago you just said first.
I'd give up the 32nd pick for sure.
Okay, so I don't know that I would.
They would have to like him to give up the 32nd. Let me give you that. If they would have to have liked him and saw something in him to give up the 32nd. Even if they were lukewarm on him, I'd consider the third round. Because, well, maybe you're wrong. And maybe you can develop the kid. I mean, there's just, that's too much talent. Just a year later, we're not talking about Ryan Leaf 5 years later or Johnny Manziel 5 years later. We're talking about, the kid was just drafted last year. He didn't even get a full offseason yet.
Yeah, look, again, you're telling me you want to take a flyer on him. I'm in. I'd take a flyer on him, but I'm not giving up the first.
Okay, Blake,
I'll give up one of the ones at the end of the second or one of the ones in the third. If they were to give up that first, you realize that that is the most Bill Belichick ever would have paid for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't give up the first. I don't do it.
Okay, Blake Bortles, if he shakes free in Jacksonville.
Sure.
No.
Why not Murray?
Because I think he's fat and he sucks and he'll be 27 years old and he has to sit behind Brady. And
pretty good against you.
Yeah, for the AFC Championship game and that game last year where they basically didn't even show up in the 100-degree temperature. And that's it. That's the best he's ever looked in his career. No, Blake Bortles sucks.
He was good the week before against Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Eh.
I'm not telling you he's good. I'm just saying he's had his moments.
Yeah, that was his lightning in a bottle moment for a couple of weeks. That's it. That's the best Blake Bortles will ever be in the NFL, even if he's here in this operation under Josh McDaniels. No.
I told you yesterday I'd take a shot there. I would. Now, again, I was worried about the money, but the money's not as bad as I thought. So, like, if the cost is right, the acquisition cost, sure. Yeah, to me, this is exactly the kind of guy they should be looking at. Find someone who's in the league that's underachieved,
right,
and that you might be able to tap into because you have better coaching.
Exactly right.
So I would. That's what I would do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I honestly, I'd consider doing that multiple times if I were them.
And so if the timeline plays out the way that I think, and I think a lot of Patriots fans think with Brady for a few more years, by the time this guy's going to be the starter, this slob's going to be 30,
yeah,
I'm good. No, you want someone young that has upside. That's why Rosen is a yes for me. He's 22 years old. 27 for Bortles when the season starts? No.
Tannehill.
Please, even worse.
No thanks. Good God, no. He sucks. I want that guy's hopeless. Useless and hopeless. That and there, I'm not wasting my time. At least I can look at Bortles and say, okay, there was once great promise there. Tannehill was a flyer when they drafted him, for crying out loud. That whole thing was a complete gamble by Miami.
Tannehill or Carmelo Anthony? You can only have one. You have to take one.
Oh, that's quite a Sophie's choice, man.
You have to take one.
Tannehill.
Yeah, I thought you'd go there. Sean and Marlboro, go ahead. What do you got first on the franchise tags?
Quick on Kraft. One thing you guys are missing is it comes down to money. If the league can still make money with incorporating Kraft, then they won't care about this whole thing.
Exactly.
If that hurts them making money, they're going to bury him.
Sean, your phone's crapping out. That's exactly my point. Kraft won't lose influence on moral grounds. He'll lose money. He'll lose influence on economic grounds. Robert, we don't trust you to do these deals anymore because we don't know where your head's at.
Okay, what about political grounds? And when I say that, I mean, you know, someone who just has it in for him,
right,
that thinks he's got too much power.
Right.
And this is part of what I mean when I say some sanctimonious, someone will use that. And, you know, the sanctimonious part.
That's a good point.
Alleged to be, you know,
right,
morally insulted. And the reality is just to undermine Kraft.
A rival for power in the league uses it to, you know, absolutely
unseat him.
But I think that rival uses it on judgment grounds, not on moral grounds.
Sure.
Really, I mean, it's the same thing. Guys, can we trust this guy to talk to the network still? You know, can we trust this guy? Like, I'm not telling you what the answer is. I'm telling you that's where the fault line lies. Sean, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
So on the franchise tag, it's more of a question. Why don't teams go to these players? Like the Pats have three guys, Trent Brown, Trey Flowers, and Gostkowski. Why don't they offer them 1 year fully guaranteed deals with the no franchise tag the next year? Like kind of work around the limit of one franchise tag and then even sweeten the deal with like offer the player like a player option for another year or two. Like,
they've done this. They did that with Darrell Revis. They couldn't franchise him in year two. I don't think that's the impediment to using the tag. That 1 year guaranteed is not a good deal. Again, I'll give it to you on Trey Flowers.
Right, because you're getting more guaranteed money on the market.
Exactly. Well, but from the team standpoint, you're going to give Trey Flowers $17 million guaranteed on the franchise tag for 1 year? That's guaranteed. That's it. You can't structure it. You can't defer it. You can't do any of those funky things that the Patriots and other teams like to do. That's it. You give them the $17 million. Well, to sign them to a 3 or 4 year contract, to a real deal, the signing bonus is going to be, call it $25 million. So why not sign him for $25 million guaranteed instead of the $17 and get him for 2 or 3 years? And in years 2 and 3, the contract's structured the way you want, and you can dink around with them then like you do all the guys.
It's absolutely what you should do. And my guess is they probably offered something, and Flowers looked at it and said it's not enough. Because otherwise he'd have taken it.
Yeah.
Again, so the problem is now when you get to this stage, the guys get the market there, and now it's breaking Flowers' way. All these other guys are getting franchised. He's going to be the big fish on the market. Like, you know, he's got leverage now, that which is what alarms me about it.
Connor and Franklin, quickly.
I wanted to touch on Trey Flowers that I don't think, and I would be surprised if we re-sign him. We never use the tag in that way. We want to get the comp picks. It's all about the comp picks. Third rounder for Trey Flowers.
I know. End of the third rounder, Connor. It's like a glorified fourth. It's in between the third and the fourth. You got a couple of those this year. I mean, they're fine. They're nice.
Yeah, Solder and Butler got them compensatory picks.
Yeah, so like good call there. Good call on both, really, there. I don't know. I think Trey Flowers is better than that. I mean,
well, this is the point. Is you say, okay, great, you get the pick. Well, first of all, the pick's not going to come until
next year,
right? The 2020 draft,
right?
Which
exactly.
Means you play a year without him or the pick. And then, secondly, right now, if you would say, you know, it's redrafted, is he a first rounder or pretty close? Maybe a second rounder?
Yeah.
Was he originally drafted in the third?
I can't remember what round, but he's definitely a first rounder now.
So I look at him and say, you've got an impact player there. How long are you going to have to wait now to get that other, to get the replacement for him? Even if you draft it right, look, how long did it take him to get there?
Right, a couple years.
And how much time does Brady have left?
A couple years.
So I just don't like, you know, to me, again, I don't understand why they always have to reinvent the wheel.
Okay, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's pretty consistent about, you know, how they devote their dollars. I think they've been relatively consistent about that. They take shots here and there. I just think Trey Flowers is worth that shot. You know, he's worth that rare exception. So we'll continue with your Patriots thoughts. You can call all day on it, 617-779-0985. We'll get to a Bruins Minute coming up right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. And again, the latest on the Patriots and the franchise tag.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.